98FM. Now, that's what I call sport podcast.
Now, the FAI coaching conference took place in Carlow recently. I was there and I got some exclusive interviews. We brought you last week chats with Terry Connor and Vera Powell from the men's and women's senior international teams. And this week, it's the turn of Jared Dunn, who's the FAI's head of performance analysis. And it's a very interesting guy. And basically, his job, which he's going to explain in more detail to us now, is quite unseen, but fascinating.
Okay, hi Jamie. So I suppose the first thing is we have to look at ourselves. So we, in advance of games, what we do is we analyse our own players, then Mick then will pick a squad. When we play then an opposition team, so for example we played Denmark on Monday night, we'll go through everything for them, whether that's players playing with their team, their club teams, set pieces, attacking threats, defending areas that we can exploit. The game is just broken down and into ways that we can actually take advantage of, or try to take advantage of. That's essentially what it is. In terms of then on match days itself, we take in multi-camera angle feeds and we break that down and we send feeds to the dugout. There's so much going on, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and I've just seen the presentation, so assume I know nothing because the listeners haven't seen what I've seen. Very interestingly, you said you watch each opposition team in full, like one match, five or six times.
Yeah, because guaranteed the first time you watch them, you're probably listening to the commentary or you're watching maybe, say, the actual general kind of feel for the game. Next time then you watch them, you might see something different. So the more times you watch them, the more you see. But for me, from my point of view, the further I get into the games themselves, the more I'm starting to see individual players and individual trends and specific trends with the team rather than individual trends, but specific things that are happening that I can then the next time I'm watching them, can start to look for that as well. Because I feel that if I watch a team once, it's just not enough.
And you've already started in your analysis of Slovakia, who we're going to face in March. So you do have some time between now and March to get ready for that game and help the team. What will go into your time and your team of analysts' time in the next while to give Mick, Terry, Robbie and the players as much as they can get, as you can give them, should I say, on our next opponents?
Yeah, so first things first is we use the Huddle platform for sharing with the players. At this stage, I think I have the last 10 games up on that. So that went up fairly quickly after we knew we were going to play them. Haven't done anything yet on Bosnia and Northern Ireland. So the first thing is to get those games up. What I'll do then is I'll use the scouting platforms that we have, take some information off them, add that to it, take that in into our analysis software, start to watch the games, look for trends, and then break the game down into attacking, transition to defend, defending, transition to attack, and all the set plays. And then get into the individual players as well. So it's basically I'm trying to build a story of the team. The coaches will generally look at those games as well and huddle in between now and when we meet up. I haven't got a date off Mick yet to when we're going to meet up. It'll probably be next week. I'd say we'll have our initial meeting. We'll watch their most recent game, probably watch them against Wales because it's relevant to us, style of play, similar type players. Probably watch that first. And then we'll go away, have some thoughts on that. We'll start to figure out, kind of start to formulate a plan. So I start to get what's inside Mick's head in terms of what he'll start to want to look for. At that stage, I will have already seen him a couple of times anyway as well. So there might be something that jumps out that didn't happen in the Wales game. I say, just make sure you keep an eye on this as well. Then we'll meet probably again. We may meet again before Christmas, and we'll probably meet four or five times in January. And by the time we get to March, we'll know them fairly well.
I was also fascinated to hear that you analysed the referees and who the referees are going to be. Why do you do that?
That's become probably less of something that we do nowadays. So John Ward in the referees department is fantastic. He provides me the information. We generally only get the referees for a competitive game two, three days in advance. But John knows them all. He has an idea of what their traits are. But it's probably less of that we're doing now than we would have had a few years ago, because UEFA have put in fantastic mentoring programs for referees, and it's almost now that the referees don't really change. Where it would have been in the past is you're keeping an eye on it. Is a referee very strict on dissent? You know, is he very strict on contact? But it seems now like they just seem to be almost equivalent at that level that we're playing against. So, for example, when we played the other night against Denmark, when we played against New Zealand, we did quite an inexperienced referee. And then when we played on Monday night, we had quite an experienced referee. He's done a lot of top games. So you're knowing what you're going to get from him. He's not going to favour one team. He's not going to be under pressure with the home crowd. or the away, you know, he's not going to favour one team over the other, and their stats usually add up to that. So, but yeah, we still do that because sometimes you need to know their personality.
And we often see when the rugby games are on, the coaches and the team of both teams in the coaches' boxes at the Aviva Stadium, wherever the game is. That's one of the places where you'll be on a match day. You might explain to me how match day works for you and the analysis team.
Yeah, so on match day, the equipment is all sent to the stadium early. Martin Doyle, who's been working with us for this campaign, Martin sets up in the stadium. He gets into the stadium around 1 or 2 o'clock in the day, sets up all of the feeds. So we take 5 feeds from the TV company, TV broadcasters, NAP. So Adam Scarf sets us up with all that. He's a fantastic guy. With that, we take the main feed that you will see at home on the TV. You'll take a camera one feed, which is essentially the same feed without any replays. One behind the goal, so in the south stand, the one on top, the very high view and really good cameraman up there. We'll take the 2 18-yard boxes as well, and then I'll put a cameraman. So Aidan McDonough is our general cameraman that's going that's up in the gantry as well, and he's taking a wider tactical view, which is what a lot of coaches want. It's the 20 outfield players, and they are in the picture all the time. And then lastly, then I'll put a camera operator in the north stand, which is the smaller stand, but still a good height up for us, and they'll take the opposition end. So all in all, we'd have a panorama feed as well from a GoPro up with Aidan. So that's there. In terms of the game then, once we're set up and the game kicks off, Martin will live tag the game for me, and I'll watch the game, and I'll have those 5 feeds coming in. So at any stage, I can review from a different angle. I don't get the feeds from the 2 camera operators that I have until after the game, because it's just we're set up differently. But we'll also have a feed going into the dressing room. So any tagging that Martin does is in the dressing room as well. So if half time, a player wants to look at something, the head coach wants to look at something, it's just done. It's done. The stadium are fantastic. They set us up for that. And then lastly, then we'll send a feed down to the technical area. So it generally sits between Alan Kelly and Robbie. So you might see a little iPad there. They have that, and they can review any of the incidents. Or if there's an injury, the medical staff can review it. And then the tagging that we do as well goes in there. So if they wanted to have a quick look at the 5 corners against us in the first half, they can do that. So it helps to inform their decisions as the game is going on, helps them see what's happening. We're communicated up as well, so with headsets you see Robbie and Alan and Terry with the headsets, and they're talking to me all the time. So sometimes, because I have a higher view, I can see things a little bit better, and they might not be able to see something, so they might say it to me. And again, they're getting the TV feed down there because it's a replays and that as well. It helps us a little bit more. However, I might have seen something that they haven't seen, far end of the pitch, or something happened in a transition and TV camera hasn't picked it up. So I can then shoot that down to them. I can send that footage down to them if they need it.
And to roll back to pre-match, when the team comes in, the opposition team comes in, maybe 90 minutes before kickoff, you personally have a very important role in the dressing room in trying to, you know, put together who'll play right back, who'll play left back, who'll take the corners, who'll be in the box, who the players should mark. And that, at the top level of football, is a very, very important one, because the players are so used to it now. If you tell Shane Duffy number 5 is going to be in the box and number 5 is staying back, he's looking around going, who do I need to mark? And Mick McCarthy and the coaching staff put a lot of importance and trust in you to do that.
Yeah, and that's the same across the board with our analysts. What we, again, that's with Mick and Terry, that's all agreed in advance with the players. So, for example, when we played on Monday night, John Egan would have been picking up Carr, Simon Carr, because he likes to get across the front post area. He's quick, and he needs to be picked up on the run. So John is quick enough to go with him. And in that scenario, if Carr then wasn't playing, well, then who else is going to make that run for them? So that information, when the team comes in, that might need to be changed. But it, a lot of times it's just confirming, yeah, he is playing, he is going to make that run, and John, that's your job. When John went off the other night at half-time, it was a quick reminder to Kieran Clark that, Kieran, here's Kieran's run, make sure you pick him up. So they've got to deal with all the tactical information again as well, but they all are very diligent. Players are very diligent about set plays and not conceding and not being the one to put their hand up afterwards and say, I lost him, it was my fault. So the players want to get that information. So Kieran will come to me and say to me, just show me that run against one more time. Okay, fine, yeah. And that might be in a previous one, or he might want to see that from the first half in case anything changed. But again, each of the players would have been detailed, and once the team comes in, generally speaking, we get it fairly right. You know, you'd be definitely getting 10 out of 11 right. So if there is a change, then you're just providing that information to players. But because they've worked on it during the week, they've gone through that in the sessions, they've been shown how to do it in the video, and then they just follow the players. They just follow the roles, and that's hopefully leads to success.
Yeah, and Jerry spoke inside about early mornings and late nights as well for the type of work that he and his team do. And lastly, apart from the videos of the match and watching what the players do, you can also track where they run, how fast they run. You showed it at kind of a live feed you had of James McLean and Matt Doherty when he scored the goal, the pace he was running at, how he was running and that sort of stuff. The players are wearing a vest, a GPS vest, and is also the cameras picking it up, or how does that work?
So for the games in Deviva, because of the setup of the stadium and that, it's harder to track. The older software was harder to track, the GPS units were harder to track. So what we do is we have a company to come in and provide live data for us using cameras. It's all automated, it's all done with artificial intelligence. It's the same system that's been used in the Premier League, not this season, but it was used for the last couple of seasons. So that we're getting the information live, and we can see with about 2 minute lag time on it what players are running, what sort of distances they're running, where they're potentially going into areas of they're at their max and that. But that information can be used by the coaches if they wish to use that. That depends on them, but the good thing about it is it's there for them. So if a coach turns around and says is Robbie struggling at the moment, he looks like he's struggling, and then we can back that up if we need to.
And very lastly, one more on my list. The luxury of the Aviva Stadium aren't always afforded to you in Gibraltar or Belarus or wherever you might be. And sometimes you have to camp under a truck and so on to stay warm, stay dry and try and do your job.
Yeah, look, it's got better. I've had a load of stories from over the years of being in different areas. Serbia was particularly poor. It was a 7 minute walk back to the dressing room. Which was tough. So you have to arrange a car to get you back. Everywhere is different. Everywhere is different. Different setups. But like for example, we were in Georgia recently, and it was fantastic. It doesn't necessarily mean that because you're in a more Eastern European country, that's anyway worse. It sometimes is better. But yeah, UEFA have got much better at that now. You fill in your details in advance. You put your requests in, and generally speaking, when you rock up on Matchday minus one, they have it set up for you, so it's quite good.
Yeah, that's Ger Dunn, the senior analyst for the Irish senior team and the FAI. Fascinating presentation and interview, Ger. Thanks for your time, and the best of luck for the next few months and in that game against Slovakia.
Thanks, Jamie.
98 FMs. Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9, only on 98 FM.